Matthew chapter 6, I will read from verse 5 to verse 15 of Matthew chapter 6. So this is Jesus teaching on prayer in this great Sermon on the Mount. And he said, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." I really want to reflect on a very small part of the Lord's Prayer this evening, and it is found in verse 11 and 12. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And then verse 14 and 15, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Well, Jesus here is highlighting the importance of not only seeking him for forgiveness of our sins, but also of forgiving others. We who have enjoyed God's grace and mercy need to be those who readily forgive others. And that's where verse 14 and 15 come in. Of course, this is not a condition for our salvation. It's nothing we can do to earn merit before God. But it's certainly a reflection of a heart that has been saved by grace. And those who have come to taste God's forgiveness and his love are those that need to be able to forgive. But I want to highlight, to begin with, the importance of confession of sin, especially in the light of how easily offended we can become when others sin against us. In 1907... there was a Korean revival that broke out. I've just finished reading a lovely book on this revival, The Korean Pentecost, by William Blair and Bruce Hunt. And there is this account of a spontaneous outpouring of confession of sin to God and toward each other during a meeting. There was one helper of a missionary who out of the blue confessed that he was harboring bitterness towards this missionary, and he had no idea that this helper had been offended by something that he had said. Well, what followed was just a general outpouring of confession to God, to one another, and this is what was written. Then began a meeting, the like of which I had never seen before, nor wish to see again, unless in God's sight it is absolutely necessary. Every sin a human being can commit was publicly confessed that night. We may have our theories of the desirability or undesirability of public confession of sin. I've had mine, but I know now that when the Spirit of God falls upon guilty souls, there will be confession, and no power on earth can stop it. But what we must remember as we come to this time of prayer this evening is that as we think about confessing our sin to God, we must remember that God is a gracious and merciful God who is ready and willing and eager to forgive us for our sin. Now, how do we see from this prayer that Jesus taught us that God is gracious and merciful? Well, first of all, we can see it in how he gives us our daily needs. He is the giver of every good and perfect gift. And you can see the petition there in verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread, which, of course, indicates our dependence upon God to provide for our every need. But as we think about God, we are amazed at his love and kindness toward us, though we are so unworthy. God gives us the very air that we breathe. He gives us food to eat and clothes to wear. He provides us with wisdom for our work. He gives us opportunities to work and to serve. And we mustn't take this for granted, which I think we often do. And that is why we are taught here to pray on a daily basis. Give us this day our daily bread. There's a dependence upon God. We trust in him as our Father who loves us and cares for us, that he will meet our every need. And God is indeed so kind to us, is he not? You can think, I'm sure, of many occasions when you have been in need. And what have you done as a believer? Well, you've prayed. You've called upon God to help, to intervene, to provide, to make a way. And he has heard those prayers. And he's answered them. Sometimes he's answered those prayers through the kindness of others who have shown you kindness and favor and have provided you with help of different kinds, whether it be monetary help or other practical ways. But God has been at work in providing for your needs. So behind these gifts that we may receive from others is the loving hand of our Heavenly Father. And we can thank him for these many gifts. So even tonight as we gather in our groups to pray, let's begin by thanking the Lord for his kindness, his love, his provision for all our needs. But secondly, we can note the graciousness of God in that he is a forgiving God, and that's why we pray this prayer, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Sin is the debt of not giving to God what is owed to him. We owe him total love and obedience. And so when we fail in our duty, which we do, because our love is so often half-hearted, we become indebted to God. And sin also incurs the debt of punishment that the law demands because we have failed to keep our duty before God. And what we need to realize as we come to God in prayer, we know that he's a holy God. He sees into every heart, every nook and cranny of our souls. He knows the sinful thoughts that we think and the sinful words that we have spoken and the sinful attitudes that we may have had or the wrong things that we may have done. He knows our sinful neglect as husbands, as wives, as children, as people of God. We thus indebted to God because of our sin. And so as we come to God, we cry out to him, forgive us our debts. I'm a sinner. I've wronged you. I've grieved your spirit. Have mercy upon me. Cleanse me of my sin. Deliver me from the demands of your law. Deliver me from the debt that I owe because of my sin. And we look to Jesus Christ and we know that he's a loving Savior who says to us, as it were, your debt is paid by my blood. You're no longer under condemnation. The law of God has been satisfied. It will no longer exact its punishment from you. I've taken that punishment upon myself. Your sins are forgiven. So we look to Christ, and there's such joy in looking to him and knowing that our sins have been forgiven. How rich is God's grace and mercy. And so we should never question God's giving and forgiving heart. He's a merciful God. Even, we know, towards those who are defiant against him, we can think of God's patience with this world in which we live. This world is in open rebellion against God. And yet, day by day, this world continues. The sun is still shining. The rain falls. There's food to eat. God is merciful to the just as well as the unjust. And you can think of how patient God is when you consider what this world did to his son, that they crucified him. And yet, Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And so God delays his wrath. The gospel continues to go out. People are called to repent and trust in his son that they might not die but live. And this speaks then of God's immense patience and kindness even to the ungodly. But how much more gracious and loving and kind is God to us as his children? He's ready and willing to forgive. He invites us to come to him with our guilty consciences, with our defiled hearts. He invites us to pray and to seek him for forgiveness. Now, there might be a Christian who says, yeah, but you know, my sins are forgiven. I confessed my sin. I trusted in Christ as my Savior. I've been justified. You can use that term as well. And so is it really necessary for me to confess my sin on a daily basis? Well, even though we as children have been justified, we need daily cleansing for our sin. You think of how Jesus stooped to wash the feet of his disciples. Peter, of course, objected, and Jesus told him that he needed to do that. And although they were his people, and that they were no longer under condemnation, they still needed the daily washing of their souls through the sanctifying work of the Word and the Spirit, and through their daily faith and trust in him as their Lord and Savior. And just so, if we think about ourselves, if we had to walk on dusty roads like they did every day, we would need to wash our feet every day. We need to bathe ourselves every day. And so it is that we need to be washed and cleansed every day, coming to God and asking him to cleanse our minds, our hearts from whatever sin we may have committed. We may not even be aware of that sin. Maybe ignorant sins that we can't even think of. But we need to daily say, Lord, if there's anything in me, in my heart, that has offended you in any way, please forgive me. Cleanse me of that sin. And what we need to realize as God's people is that sin fractures the relationship we have with God. Of course, it doesn't change the fact that God will always love us. His love for us will not change if we are his. But sin mars that fellowship with God. You can think of a child that is disobedient to mom and dad. Things are not hunky-dory between mom and dad until that child comes to mom and dad and says, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I was wrong. Then the relationship is restored. But until then, there's a displeasing look on the parent towards the child. You've done wrong. You need to make right. You need to confess. You need to say you're sorry. And just so, when it comes to our relationship with God, as much as we know God will never stop loving us, doesn't love you less today and is yesterday because of something you may have done wrong today, he loves you the same. But still, with this sin, we need to confess that we might be forgiven and our relationship restored. So as we think about God, we think of his grace and mercy toward us, his giving heart, his kindness in daily meeting our needs, in forgiving us our sin. And so with this in mind, we can ask the question, well, how should we respond toward those who may have offended us? And God expects us to show similar compassion and mercy toward others who have done us wrong in some way. You can think of the parable of the unforgiving servant that Jesus told, how the king forgave him a huge debt, which he would have never been able to repay. But how this unforgiving servant, after having been forgiven all his debt, goes and finds a fellow servant who owes him a minuscule amount. And this fellow servant begs him just to give him time to repay the debt, and he refuses, and he has him thrown into prison. And of course, the king is furious that this unmerciful servant could have done such a thing. And we're reminded there that we are not to be like that. We're to be those who forgive others, even though it may have been a wrong that has hurt us deeply. And I'm sure that you have, all of you, most of you, except if you're perhaps very young, have been hurt and slandered by someone, and that wound might run very deep. It grieves your soul. Well, what do you do in this situation? Well, we know from Scripture we certainly not to take revenge, and we have that Scripture in Romans 12. reminding us that we're not to harbor any kind of vengeful thoughts or feelings toward that person. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But more than that, we need to go further than that, not just harboring those bitter, vengeful feelings, but we actually to show mercy and kindness when we're given the opportunity. So verse 20 of Romans 12 says, to the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. And be reminded, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And so we might want to pray for an opportunity to show kindness to the person who may have wronged us. But this is very important. And why is it important that we forgive others who may have offended us? Well, we're given this instruction in Ephesians 4, verse 32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. So we're commanded by God to forgive those who may have offended us. But also, we are told to be imitators of God, to show through our forgiveness and kindness something of the grace and mercy that we have received from God himself. And then as we do that, as we forgive, we can think of how Satan's strategies are all, they crumble, they are undermined. Why? Because there's healing and blessing that flows. Satan wants to keep us from growing spiritually and from enjoying fellowship and love for one another. And so he will try to stir one up to that you feel that you are right and just in maintaining hard and bitter feelings toward others because of something they've done wrong. But the moment we forgive and reach out in love and kindness, well, Satan's strategies are undone. And there's healing and there's blessing that flows. And this is what we must pray for in our church body here at Bethany. That God will enable us to really love each other and to forgive each other. Because for sure, if it's not now, there will be things that are said and done that may hurt and offend at some point or another. But we to be a people of God who, like the Lord Jesus, just so full of grace and kindness and love and forgiveness. And we need to pray that the Lord would help us to be able to be like him and to forgive. So as I conclude, let our prayers then be filled with gratitude for God's many gifts to us. He's been so good to us. I'm sure you'll agree with me as you think about your life and how he's helped you and guided you and led you, provided for you. And we need to say thank you to him. And then we need to also pray for mercy upon us, that as we think about our sin, Lord, forgive us where we have wronged you in any way. And then we need to pray for grace to forgive those who may have done evil toward us. And so let us ask God then to pour out on us this loving and gracious attitude toward others. Let us ask God to deliver us from any resentment toward others. Let us pray that God would enable us to be honest before him and loving toward our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, that's the devotion for this evening. I'm going to pray, we're going to sing a hymn, and then we're going to break up in groups for prayer. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we do praise and thank you for your kindness and love toward us as your people. We think of how you have preserved our lives over the years. At any moment in time, it might have been that our life could have been taken. We don't deserve to live, but you have shown us grace and mercy and favor. You've been patient with us. And you led us to that point where we came to know and love you as our Lord and Savior. You saved us by your grace. You brought us into your kingdom. And what joy to know that our sins have been washed away, that we have been clothed with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing to be in Christ, to no longer be under condemnation. We praise you and worship you this evening. But even as we think of your forgiveness toward us, we pray that we would be helped to forgive those who may have offended us. We know that this happens. often. That is why Jesus taught us to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us. And this was a daily prayer, we know. So Lord, where there is anything in our heart toward another because of something said or done that has hurt us, we pray that you will give us grace to forgive, to leave the matter in your hand, knowing that you are just and righteous, and to trust in you. But Lord, we also just pray that as we come to this time of prayer now, you would grant to us much grace and help us to be honest and open before you, to pour out our hearts before you. And we pray that you would revive our hearts, refresh our souls, strengthen our faith even as we pray. We ask this all in Jesus' name.